Hey, welcome to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. This is a podcast we hope will equip, inspire, and uplift all those who want to see young people thrive. Ministry New Zealand
with Tim and
Jasmine.
What up?
Do you think we're getting better or worse at this?
Yeah. That is a loaded question.
You'd think would be, we're on like five or six now. Five. Four.
Many?
No, five. Yeah, five.
Many.
Yeah. They're all starting to blur. I don't think we've done enough to lose count yet because it's still on one hand.
Not if it's six.
Ah, true. It's definitely not six.
Have you lost count of how many fingers you have on your hand, Jasmine?
How do you know how many fingers I have on my hand? They don't know. I was born in Bunnythorpe. It could be as many as I want.
Home birth in Bunnythorpe, people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How's your week going?
It's been an interesting week. I think the weather's played into it. It's been quite wet this week.
Yeah, it has.
And we had a massive earthquake, actually.
We did. That was weird, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I was sitting with your senior pastor at the time in a very old cafe, and I felt very, very unsafe.
I was in a car, and I thought my car was breaking because it was, like, lurching, and I was like, what the heck is going on?
Was it the car you'd just got fixed?
No, this was my brother's car.
Oh, so that would have been disappointing if the car you just got fixed felt like it was breaking, eh?
Shout out to my brother for letting me borrow his car for 2 months because I couldn't afford to get new tyres.
Hashtag youth pastor salary.
Hashtag youth pastor salary. Hashtag Phil, give me a pay rise.
I tell you what I'm looking forward to this week, though.
Yeah.
I got quite an intense weekend. We got some like RSA centennial celebrations. Ooh. That I'm a part of.
Cool.
A memorial tree planting that I get to do a blessing at.
Awesome.
And we're into week three of our food pantry in town.
Oh, yes. It's so cool.
So I'm partnering with my mate Farani, who's a Samoan Methodist minister, giving away surplus food for free to anyone in our community who wants it.
Yeah, so that was a cool convo, eh? With that they just rang you up out of the blue, Spears Food, and were like,
such a God thing, eh? Like,
yeah, just,
I didn't even
do
know,
you want free food?
I didn't even know they existed in town, and they're calling me being That's like, funny. Do you want to give away our free food?
Well, I hope they don't listen. I knew they existed.
You are a better person than me.
Yeah.
So today we are having a conversation with Ben Tennant.
Yeah.
Ben's a mate of yours?
I would say we're mates, yeah. We spend probably a lot of time at different gatherings together, and we always have good yarns. So we've been, I guess, around the same circles, being both Presbyterian and Presbytery Central, which is our region.
I discovered that I knew him when he was an Anglican.
Yeah, that was funny, eh? When we arrived and you're like, oh, hello.
It was cool.
So technically you've known him for a lot longer than I have.
But not as well as you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's been interesting having this conversation with him on the podcast because obviously I've seen a bit of the journey that he's been on, but I actually didn't know all the things that we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess when you're in youth ministry circles, you kind of just talk about what's going on at the moment or like your own stuff. So hearing a bit of his background and, yeah, the convo, it was good.
It's a real good convo, particularly about some of the challenges we face in youth ministry and how to be faithful when it all seems to be going pear-shaped, eh?
Yeah.
So listen closely.
Yeah, let's jump in.
We'll see you in 26 minutes. Kia ora, welcome back to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. We are here, Jasmine and I, with Ben. And we're sitting in his amazing youth worker's office on comfy chairs, and we're going to have a bit of a yarn to him about his experience as a youth worker in Plymouth. So Ben, why don't you tell us a bit about who you are?
Who am I? Well, I'm a father of a three-year-old. I'm in my early-ish 40s and a late starter as far as parenthood goes. I started in youth ministry a long time ago and then went away, became a Sparky, and then God called me back very clearly, finally, and been in this church at St. Barnabas for 5 years.
You want to tell us a bit about how you got called back into youth ministry? Like, what did that look like for you?
Well, I walked away from church and faith altogether for about 8 years before yeah. that and became a Sparky. It was a gradual decline of being through a few churches that had lost ministers and had all sorts of messy breakups and things. And walked away for 8 years, no faith, nothing. And then a wonderful moment where I'm talking to a mate of mine who is heading down the same track that I could see. And I said to him, well, you pick a church and I'll join you.
Yeah.
He picked one that I dreaded going to, but I went. And that was a little bit rocky and a little bit grumpy, but worked out very well in the end. Yeah. And then some very good friends who said, right, come to Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
And it was a moment where I, the week beforehand, I said to God, I'm not getting off that altar until I meet you there. And, of course, God being the gentleman he is, didn't leave me waiting. So it was a very positive, exciting moment. But I was still a Sparky through all that.
Yeah.
And then I remember talking to someone at the back of church. I finally came back to my home church here,
yeah.
St. Barnabas. And I was talking to someone at the back and I said, man, it would be my dream job to be here. And that was 6 months sort of previous to me taking on the role. I didn't really see anything in it. And then I heard whispers of the current guy about to go and become a minister. So, well, he trained as a minister and he'd looking for his own parish. And so I approached him and he said to me, well, actually, God told me you're going to do this yesterday. And I was like, oh, nearly fell off my seat.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty special.
Yeah.
And had a talk to the minister and... without criticising Presbyterian churches and the speed and committees that they seem to operate at. They moved incredibly fast.
Yeah.
And within a month, I'd been offered a job. And it was still a little waiting period before I actually started it, but it was all timed just amazingly. So,
yeah. Well, that's me, bro. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
So Jazz has told me a little bit about some of the journey you've been on. And it sounds like it's been a real interesting journey in how you've developed the youth ministry here. Why don't you tell us about the journey of the last 5 years and what that's looked like?
So I started the year with the youth group. Now, I don't know if I inherited or it happened or I created it by accident, but I ended up with a social group. Now, it was just a social club, lots of fun, lots of laughs, so the odd prayer here and there, but nothing God central about it. And after sitting on it for about a year, I was at the point of like, this is not why I'm in this job. And this is not where I see us going. And Easter camp, 4 years ago, and I was the old Prezi Easter camp, talking to a few wise heads, and just sort of going, you know, I actually really want to bring God more into this, and they were very encouraging, and I went away and prayed about it, and I got this very, very clear words, which are written on my window, as you can see, that say, honour God, and he will do the rest. You know, honour me, and I'll do the rest. And it was quite a, it's been a rock for me, that thing. And so I introduced we called it Wildfire. So our youth group's called Bonfire. And we introduced Wildfire because we wanted it to be bigger than just a controlled bonfire. We want it out of control. And we introduced this thing and everyone thought it was terrible and left. So that was great. So nights when no kids, nights when I had one, and I probably had a core group of 10 to 15 at that point.
That's still pretty good. Like, for some youth groups, that's, like, big numbers, 15.
Yeah, well, I managed to destroy that.
Oh, that was before.
Yeah, so before that. Okay. So, yep, so, and so I was down to one or none, and a good night would be four. And I was all right about it because I knew I was honouring God and he'd do the rest. And I sat through that for over a year.
Oh, that's such a scary space to sit.
People have said that and I'm like, I was all right.
How did the church leadership take it when you weren't seeing the results?
So no one really said anything, but there was a few murmurs, you know. They were quite gracious, and I hope they saw the bigger picture, because I did. And, you know, God had made it very clear, so I'd done that. And then I think the following year, I ended up with about a core group of six. And we started doing more of the God Night stuff, where, I mean, we the way we run it now is 1 week will be social, the second week will be our wildfire night, and it's all night is this Bible study or anything God focused about it, and it is specifically we don't play games or anything like that. And we all share a meal at that as well, so we have dinner first together. I love food, and I think it's a great way just to connect on a human level.
Yeah.
So we started introducing more of these wildfire nights, and there's just a point where we started seeing, you know, a real interest starting to grow. It was very small because it's very hard to get leverage on a little group. You need that sort of critical mass. But it was okay, you know, we knew we were doing our best to honour God, and so I'd left the rest to Him, which is what He told me to do. And there was a turning point a couple of years ago. Instead of going to Easter camp, we went and did our own camp with another local youth group. And we actually did it a week or two before Easter instead. And theirs was almost a church camp that we joined in on. So it was quite a different feel from an Easter camp or anything. So it's an overnighter. There were these really great speakers that came in and talked. And suddenly these kids suddenly clicked to it. And it was probably the starting point for a real, real change in the culture here. And then I think it was later on that year we did Alpha, or was that last year? We had a few other things that sort of we went through and we started really growing. And we started hitting this critical mass of 8 to 10 where suddenly it wasn't just an empty hall with three kids sitting in here. And we started, you know, we'd use a little youth room so it felt more homely and things like that. And I think the next turning point was probably Alpha last year. We did the adult Alpha. We chose to do that. We do the youth with our intermediates. But we do the adult one with kids. And I agonized right up to the day of starting it over which one to do. But I felt they actually needed something deeper that was going to push a lot harder. You know, it's easy to hand things on a platter at their level, but you don't get pushed. So that was the decision we made, and it was a great choice. And they thrived on it, and they suddenly clicked what it was about, and they started bringing friends, which was really exciting.
Wow, that's huge, yeah.
It's like back to front. You come for the social stuff, and you bring your friends then. But there's a desire to know God, and we just got so many kids through that. Just coming for the Alpha, and then we did an Alpha weekend away, and I think we took a dozen away on that. And epic, just amazing. You know, these kids seeing the Holy Spirit moving in just wonderful ways, and and them all sort of, you know, words for God and all this sort of stuff. It was cool. And then so since then they've been going, right, you know, and I touch base with more time. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What stuff that's going on? And every time it's always God. We want more of that. And this year we did a different Easter camp. We did the big ecumenical one up in Fielding, just to try a different experience for them. And that was a great move for us. It was good for them to see that actually there's thousands of kids around them who have faith. And they aren't as isolated as they thought they were. And from there we started a home group. So we've got a youth home group now. And we've been working through some different curriculums. We're doing one called Can I Ask That at the moment. That's got real curly questions. You know, can I be a Christian and believe in evolution? And does the Bible discriminate against women? And all these real kind of stuff. But this is the kind of stuff they're after. It's the real big stuff. Because it creates good, strong faith, you know, if you can address it.
And it's the real questions, the stuff they actually want to know, eh?
Totally.
But again, they don't know if they can ask that.
So we did that, and we did our own night church on a Saturday night here, where the kids did 90% of it, you know, and they presented, they shared their testimonies in that, and we had two kids who are visiting who recommitted their lives to Christ, and we're just going, man, this is it, you know. So we've gone from one kid to no kids, you know, in the beginning, and now we've got a core group of a dozen again. We're back to that. Back to that point, but the depth is so so deep, you know. And that's what really interests me, is that depth. I'm not worried about numbers. Everyone, we always say that in youth ministries, but I think deep down, well, we want to be reaching our communities. We don't want an empty hall, but well, I want culture and depth first. So that's sort of the journey.
Very cool. So how did you find those 12 that are kind of a part of it now? How did you reach out to them, or did they just come out of the blue?
Real good question. because I'm the children, community, and youth coordinator here. Funny title.
What's the acronym for that?
Oh, I don't know. Thanks a lot. Yeah. YCCM, something. The interesting thing is I noticed we had a real gap in our intermediates. So at Sunday school, we split them up. It's the best we can do with the resources. I'd love to have a Friday night, Saturday night intermediate group, but we don't have the resources for that yet.
Yeah.
But we split them up so that at least they had their own program, and that's where we started working through Youth Alpha, and we're doing Reform at the moment, if you know Reform.
That's good.
Yeah. And they're big, you know. Again, we're pushing probably a little bit above what they may do in a normal intermediates group, but we're trying to push them just a bit harder. But what we found was before that, they were getting bored of Sunday school. They're getting to that age where it wasn't, you know, they were above that. And so they're starting to drift away from church and not really want to come on Sundays and all that kind of thing. So when we set this up, they started, you know, they were here regularly and that sort of thing. And it meant it fed into our youth group. So November every year, so in 2 weeks' time, my year eights from the intermediates group start coming through. And we found that the year eights especially are awesome at bringing their friends. So we really push them. And it's always been a culture to bring your friends. I could put out posters, I can put out flyers and letterboxes, but invitation is the best form of doing it, and probably at least 50% of our youth group are bringing friends, you know, and still even in, you know,
awesome.
Later on in college, and that they're still bringing them along, which is great.
But
the intermediates was really key, and 4 years ago when we kind of got the intermediates started, they started coming through, and that's where our real growth came. And it was 2 or 3 every year, but they were bringing friends from their community.
And how do your kids that are coming as the friend, how do they react to a slightly more like intense program than most youth groups would be hosting?
Most of them are community kids, so they don't have a clue what youth group looks like.
Oh, so it's...
Which is great, because I don't want to poach from another youth group. I'm not interested in that. But right from the front, you know, when they turn up, and often with mum and dad, I'll say to them, we are a Christian group. We believe... we talk about prayer, we talk about Jesus, we talk about God. Some of it's quite intense. We try to be sensitive and caring about what we're saying and that. And, you know, and there's no hard feelings if you're not comfortable with us and you don't want to show here. But we've been up front from the beginning. And most of them kind of sit there and look kind of, you know, what's going on here. But they're, you know, with that sort of larger group critical mass, they see actually, well, they're all okay with it, so it can't be that wacky or weird or scary or intimidating. And we, you know, we try to do it in a way that pushes but is safe.
I think that's a really important thing that you've hit on, this idea of actually setting the bar slightly ahead of where the young people are and challenging them and pushing them. I think too much of the world around young people just is kind of like, you're kids, we can't expect anything of you, we can't give you responsibility. But actually to push young guys, that's what they want, eh? You know, they need a challenge, something to live for.
It was actually a lesson I learned as an apprentice, electrical apprentice, and I remember one of the guys showing me some stuff and well above my head, and I'm like, dude, I don't get it. He's like, don't worry, I'll just keep telling you about it, and you keep watching and you'll get it. And it was actually a really interesting principle that I learned from him, a sparky, and that's part of discipleship and modeling. And immersing, you know, you continually push it a little bit harder than what they used to, because they don't need to know, they're there to learn. So let's put them at a level where they're learning, not just sitting where they've always been.
But I think it's got to be that push of, you got to have the information along with the imitation. Like, you've got to be giving them not just theoretical knowledge, but actually practical modelling. And when you have that strong culture of a core group, that does that.
Yeah, lots of journeys ahead. You know, we're far from perfect, perfect for discipleship or anything like that, and I'm learning every day. It's been a steep learning curve for me, and it's challenged my faith and what I understand, but boy, it's exciting.
What do you think one of the biggest takeaways in the journey around discipleship has been for you, something that is going to change the way you do it going forward?
Actually, something I was reading in the last, about 2 weeks ago, last week, something like that. I'm reading a book called You Lost Me.
Okay.
And that's all about the millennial drift, how the millennial age group, 30 or 20 to 30 year old sort of thing, aren't in churches. They're gone. And it's done by Barna Group in the States. And they've done a ton of research around it. Really great book. But there's a thing in there, and they're talking about how science is really prevalent now. And how as churches, we've kind of, we don't want to know. We're not talking about science. We're not engaging with it. We're not, I mean, you know, Christianity used to be a powerhouse in the science community. And now we're kind of being, well, God doesn't exist because science has proven it kind of stuff. So we've gone quiet. And actually, you know, it's not true. And so what they're saying is actually we need to disciple our young people better, especially, you know, those in the science field, because they're going to go in there and they're being forced to choose between church or science, right? And the principle, and something that they're talking about is actually, you know, finding role models for these millennials in the science communities and that, you know, it's not for me to do necessarily because I don't know enough about science. It's not my role, but you find, you know, and hook these people up. And something I learned, you know, and I can apply this to anything. So I got a young guy who's heading into the army next year. He's just going for his officer interviews and things this week. And the whole army thing is not my bag. I've got to be very careful that I'm not putting him off or pushing him away from church. And so after reading this, I'm like, actually, I'm not doing enough to encourage him wherever God's calling him. And if it's the army, then I got to trust that that's, you know, that's God's calling on his life. So I had a chat to a friend of mine who oversees the chaplains at Trentham. He's going for, me and him are going to go over, meet one of the chaplains, get a tour around Trentham. And we're going to try, you know, and the goal is to give them a place of faith within that atmosphere. So that's the big thing for me is actually networking with people who, you know, who can disciple and can hold these young people strongly outside of my walls of youth group. So,
and it's, I mean, one of the ways to frame it is a question of like, are we discipling these young people for the church or are we discipling them to exist in the world? And I think too often we've tried to train and disciple and apprentice people to live in the church, but haven't actually equipped them for life outside the church. But it sounds like what you're doing is trying to create that completely different culture shift.
That's something I'm learning right now. I mean, it's the first time I've ever, you know, it was quite exciting. It's and again, it's changing my way of thinking. It's always changing, so.
That's good. I think that's what God calls us to, right? The constant change and shift.
Hard out.
Hopefully in the right direction.
Calm now. We're going to fall over sometimes and get it horribly
that's
wrong,
aren't we? Always.
You got a mistake, make a mistake every now and then.
Well, the reality is that sometimes God isn't actually very loud on what he's saying, and sometimes we don't, we miss what he's saying, or sometimes he leaves us to give it a go, you know?
And sometimes we get so caught up in our own ideas, we run head first, following after that, without really looking around to see where God is, eh?
Oh, you're way over there now, you know?
How did you get over there, God?
So, yeah, it's very exciting.
And what do you think is next for your journey with the young people here in Plymouth?
Oh, that's a big question. Part of me goes, maybe I'm a startup guy, you know, to build from nothing, to change cultures, and maybe there's someone better who can grow up from here. So there's that question I'm asking myself. I've got, I mean, technically speaking, I've got another year on a contract here. I've been here, this is my second contract, so something's going okay, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I just keep my ear to the, you know, ear up to God. Where are you leading us? I hold things lightly. I try to keep things open-ended. I think in some ways, you know, a different voice into our young people's lives is really healthy too. I mean, the young guy heading off to the army, he's been with me from the beginning. And
yeah, because 5 years means you have seen some of them the whole way through.
Yeah.
That's so, quite special.
So, Yeah, I'm uncertain. I can't answer that question, actually. And I'm okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. That's a hard, I think that's probably a hard thing for all of us, that we have to wrestle with, like, when is the right time to let go and when are we no longer the right person for the job? Because obviously we want to always feel like we're the right person, but also you don't want to leave before the right time.
Yeah.
Get in that weird limbo.
Yeah, and seasons come and seasons go.
Yeah.
You don't want to hang on too late when things are really falling to bits as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it's really just about seeking God. You know, again, honour God and he'll do the rest. So I'll keep doing that until he tells me otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a lifelong rule in my life. But in this role, anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I, like, cannot imagine holding the tension that you... Like, I'm still, like, in shock that you went almost a whole year of just sitting with God and being like, I know you've got a bigger plan. Like, I cannot imagine having one young person. I think I would have given up. Like, I hate to say that, but I feel like I probably would have.
I think looking from the outside, that's understandable. Mm. But there was no stress about it. Like, I was calm about it, and I knew it was right. Mm. And it was just this real clear reassurance that we are doing the right thing here.
Because
the social club has no future. It had no future.
Yeah.
It didn't have any longevity about it. There was no good growth bringing people into a youth group.
Mm.
So really I was holding on to an aging youth group in a way. There's no God in it, so there's no future at all.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal future, you know. You know, there was more hope with one kid who was hanging in there than there was with a room full of kids who had a social club.
Yeah, very true.
So
very true.
So I was it was bizarre because a lot of people said that, you know, how are you all right with this? And I'm like, it's a peace God's given me. He's told me this, honor God, and he'll do it. I know clearly that it was him. Mm. So it's like, right, I'm doing that.
And it probably speaks of, like, the need for each of us as youth pastors to have to be seeking God. Because it sounds like, obviously, duh, you work in a church, you've got to be honouring God and seeking him. But sometimes we definitely get caught up in the business. But when you head into those spaces, if you haven't got your stuff sorted, that's when you're going to fall over, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's perilous trying to do it in your own strength.
Yeah.
So
which is probably why the longevity of youth workers is what it is.
Yeah,
kind of going a bit left field with final question. So what have you learnt in this journey about some of the unique kind of struggles or issues that young people in New Zealand are wrestling with? What do you think is unique about what this generation is going through at this stage and that youth pastors can be aware of and engage with? Just ask the big question.
That's all right. I think there's a couple of answers to that. I think first of all is creating a place of discipleship and sticky faith that sticks for a lifetime, and understanding how things like university can be incredibly amazing but incredibly destructive to faith. Because we live in a little sheltered church hall where they're never really challenged in their faith or pushed. So I think that's probably one of the bigger ones. What was the question again?
Unique context of youth work in New Zealand. You know, what are the unique struggles that young people are facing here?
I think that's probably it. I think it's having that sticky faith that can weather the storms and an assurance of God and who he is in the face of the way society looks these days, because it's very anti-Christian. You know, the old take up my cross kind of stuff doesn't really get spoken about much anymore, but actually to have a real faith, we've got to be willing to actually make big sacrifices and painful ones at times. So I think that's probably one of the big ones, is actually teaching our young people to be discipled into a place where they're willing to take up their cross and know that it requires more than just turning up on a Saturday night. You know, it's actually a life.
And I think that's something our whole church is wrestling with as well, is what does it mean to do youth ministry, and ministry that's not just on a Sunday, on a Saturday, Friday, whenever, like it has to be whole life. And kind of translating that.
It's a pretty exciting time to be working with young people, eh?
Totally.
Yeah,
definitely.
like any time would have been exciting.
Each with his own unique challenges. Yeah.
But we're here now, so let's be excited.
Yeah, man. And God's awesome. Called us to be faithful here.
Yeah.
Hey, Lois, thank you so much for your time, Ben. This has been a real awesome conversation.
Yeah.
And I think we've teed up another conversation in the future about how to kill Sunday school, right?
Yeah, that'll be it.
Brilliant, brilliant. So all our listeners can look forward to that. And hey, bless you in all you do, man.
Thank you.
So that was a good yarn, eh?
Yeah, that's good.
Mean.
Yeah. What did you get out of it?
Well, I'm going to ask you that question because you were just mentioning that quote that he said, honour God and he will do the rest.
Yeah, which I think you can kind of tell my bewilderment when we're talking to him. But yeah, I guess it's something that I've had to do in my youth ministry, but for some reason listening to his story just kind of like shocked me a lot that he was so calm about sitting in that awkward space. But I guess it does just come back to that. Honour God and he will do the rest.
It's so hard to imagine walking that walk, eh? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I've killed bits of youth group before,
yeah.
You know, and sometimes for good reasons and sometimes for bad.
Yeah.
And we all have our own, you know, valley of the shadow of death we walk through in ministry in different seasons. But man, to like passionately follow God so hard and in such the right way that actually your ministry looks on the surface like it's gone into total decline and failure and yet pursue God anyway.
Yeah, that must be. Oh, it's just like, I think that's probably such a good reason why we as youth pastors have to be honouring our own walk with God and be working so hard at not just living our God life through our ministry but through our own lives as well. Because it's so easy to fail if like your whole walk with God revolves around your ministry.
Yeah, I remember someone challenged me that like there's a difference between like personal devotion and Bible reading and then reading it for your theological study.
But it's so hard because every time I try and read the Bible, I'm like, oh, my youth group would love that and stuff like that. So like it always comes back
to it.
That'd
be great for my assignment.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally a theological study, man. Eh? That ruined my devotional life for a while.
Actually, for me, it was interesting because I think it was probably one of my best times of devotion was when I was studying because I love to learn. So for me, doing that was like, man, like so many blowing God moments.
Yeah. What do you think it looks like? How can we, as people working with young people in so many different contexts, how can we continue to grow and develop in our trust of God?
Well, I think it starts by living in prayer. You can't do anything if you don't live in prayer, which we've seen in our ministry, like we were going through such a hard time with the youth group, like it was like so much stuff going on. And then when we started actually meeting together, praying for Martin, praying for our ministries, like the whole thing has just shifted since then and we're still doing it and we've seen so much growth. And I think it all comes back to that we centered our day in prayer.
Yeah. And it's like for me personally, it totally helps deal with and process through some of the negative feedback you get when you're working with people.
Yeah.
Like always, you know, you're trying to pursue God and do what he's called you to do faithfully and that's going to cause some opposition.
Yeah.
But then I sit in the morning, I sit in the evening with, you know, the beautiful prayer book of the Anglican Church and then just carry it in that liturgy and it so helps me find God even in
the uncomfortable space.
Yeah, uncomfortable is a polite word for it. Yeah. Let's go with that.
You have been through a few difficult things in your ministry.
Yes.
Including people writing bad things on your car.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
And sad.
Yeah. But I mean, we knew this role would be hard when we came into it.
Yeah.
And so I think like, you know, the conversation we had with Ben, you know, it did resonate for me, that whole like walking through the challenge and honouring God and just saying we're going to pursue God and it will be okay in the end.
Yeah. You have to, you have to just keep focused on God and focused on what he wants because bad stuff will happen and challenges will come. It just comes with the territory. You can't, if you're doing it and you've never had anything go wrong, like, are you working with people?
Yeah, hard, hey?
Are you just sitting in your office doing paperwork?
Like, I do have those days. I won't lie. Yeah,
like, it's good to do. I'm not bagging paperwork. Paperwork is important, but our whole role is ministry, so it revolves around people, and people suck sometimes, including ourselves.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but man. It was just such a good convo, eh?
Hard out. And I got a lot of respect for anyone who walks that kind of walk like he does.
Yeah.
And to anyone out there who's listening, who's going through a rough patch or who's feeling really challenged in their ministry or really discouraged, just like the encouragement to keep praying, keep seeking God, yeah, because he is there with you. And no matter what you're going through, God is there and he's going to be, you know, working for the good of the people in your ministry and for you in that.
Yeah. And the more you pour into yourselves, eh, is the more you can pour out to other people. So if you're learning a lot about God and you're spending a lot of time in your own walk of like, this is what it means for me to follow God, you'll just be able to like give all of that out to other people. But if you're emotionally drained and like spiritually drained, like what is it that you're giving out again?
Yeah, I remember vividly, well, like when I first started in youth ministry, it was one of those few times in my life where I knew nothing. I was like terrified. I remember sitting in the church on the first night of youth group for this youth group of three people on my first day of being a youth minister. And I was freaking out. It's like, how did I end up here? I'm going to have to like talk to people. But I also remember like praying so fervently. I don't know if I've ever prayed so intensely in my whole life as I did that 6 months. And man, youth group was awesome. God was there.
Yeah.
We grew. The young people grew and met God. And about 6 months in, I remember, like, obviously this transition happened where I began to think I knew something about youth ministry. I began to think I was pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
And I began to pray less.
Yeah.
And man, that was a kicker, eh?
Yeah.
And that sucker punched me to the gut, and the next 6 months sucked.
Yeah. You know? I think that's probably exactly what happened to me over this year. I would say that's about the same trajectory that I, and it's also, I think, comes down to being busy, because when you first start a role, you don't usually have, I mean, if you're working full time, you don't usually have a full 40 hours worth of work to do in the first couple of months. But 6 months down, you've got 80 hours a week And so prayer stops being top priority.
Or it just gets pushed out by business sometimes, eh?
Yeah, and
we justify it by like, oh, but you know, I'm doing ministry, so it's okay. I'm meeting with people, it's okay. Yeah. When I first started here in the Rangitike, I made a point of driving to all the little townships that I have churches in and just walking the streets and praying for the streets.
That's
and walking.
Cool.
Totally haven't done that in 3 months.
Have you found your challenge already?
I think so. I'm feeling quite challenged just by myself.
Oh, that must be the Lord.
Yeah. But I think challenge is a good transition, because one of the other things that stood out to me from Ben was this idea of actually young people thrive on being challenged.
Yes.
And he has so been pushing them in their faith.
Uh-huh.
And man, they're leaping at it, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I mentioned last week about how our youth group is, our intermediates are about to start Youth Alpha, and that actually came from the challenge that Ben gave, that actually they are capable of more than I'm giving them credit for. And so, like, I was just like, you know what, we're just going to try this. We're going to see how they go. Like, they might not get it all, but actually that's a good place for them to start, of feeling like I'm giving them more opportunity to grow, as opposed to like feeding them at a low level.
And everyone knows, like, none of us grow in the space of comfort.
Yeah.
We grow in the challenge.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, our culture kind of looks at young people so often like they have nothing to give and they can't be given responsibility.
Yeah.
But we all know that we're schools and we're families and we're social groups give young people responsibility. They thrive.
For sure.
And so why would the same not be true of the challenge of discipleship?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, well, there you go. Have you got any more challenges you're going to do this week?
I think one is enough, eh? Like, yeah. But I think, like, as a kind of parting thought, the third thing that Ben pulled up that really stood out to me, and I don't know if it caught you, was this idea of, you know, if we are honouring God and if we're discipling young people and really challenging them, are we doing that in a way to set them up for life outside of the church?
Oh, yeah.
Or are we just doing it to set them up for life in the church?
Yeah, I think it's got to be both, though, eh? Because we don't want our young people to, leave into adulthood hating church, because I think church is really important, but we also don't want them only knowing what the church stuff is. Like, we want to give them both.
What's that idea? What did Ben call it? Like, sticky faith. Faith that goes beyond the church.
Yeah, because you're going to get all those curly questions when you get into adulthood, which is true. Like, university, people love to be, like, terrible about it. Like, ugh.
Mate, I had, like, a four-year-old ask me, like, to tell him about the devil the other day. He's like, why does the devil exist, Tim?
Interesting. Another podcast.
Yeah, you get curly questions even from four-year-olds, eh? So what about you? What's your challenge? What's your takeaway from this conversation with Ben?
Yeah. Did I already say it?
No.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. okay, so my challenge, I think, it's probably actually the last thing that we talked about. I think I need to start thinking about how I'm preparing my young people for adulthood. So we don't have any Year 13s this year, but we will, no, next year we will have a few Year 13s, and we've got a lot of Year 12, Year 11s. So how are we preparing them well for the outside world so that they can own their faith in a way that doesn't need us?
Kia ora, yeah.
Because that's like such an important thing. And also, I think I need to reevaluate how much time I'm spending praying and doing that. Because I love our little morning, but actually it's only like half an hour. So it's like 3 hours a week, you know, which is not a lot really.
Not compared to the amount of time you spend on your Facebook, eh?
I mean, I do spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Youth Ministry in New Zealand this week. It's been an absolute blast. We're loving it. As always, we'd love to hear your questions.
Yes,
so please do rate us on iTunes. It helps everyone else find us.
Yeah.
And again, shout out to Charles, our producer, and Joe for our amazing logo.
Thank you.
Have a great one.